With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Now, remote working has very much been a part of the career landscape, especially since COVID hit 5 years ago. But some companies are changing tack and they're requesting that employees return to the office for more time, with some even insisting on the full 5 day week. Now, this remains to be seen if it's a good idea, but joining me to talk about the pros and cons of working from home is career psychologist and author Sinead Brady. Sinead, you're very welcome back to the show.
Thanks a million for having me, Laura, and such a great topic.
I know, and also I love the fact that we are talking about the pros and cons of working from home and you're taking this phone call remotely.
Isn't that just brilliant? Talk about living what we're talking about.
Before we get into the pros and cons of remote working, I have a very basic question for you right now. Okay,
yeah.
It might be kind of silly, but what exactly is a career psychologist?
So it's not a basic or a silly question. It's actually a brilliant question, Laura.
Thank
and,
you.
I sometimes joke, I call myself the Chandler Bing in my family because not everybody, people kind of know what I do, but not everybody's fully clear. So, a career psychologist is a branch within the field of work and organizational psychology.
Okay.
So to be a career psychologist, you have to be a qualified psychologist. So okay. Have a work and organizational psychology degree. Plus you have to have a coaching qualification or a master's in career and career development. So that's kind of the qualification part of it. I think it's really important question to ask because it speaks to the fact that somebody is giving you information that is evidence-based and that is based on the theories and the research. So it's not anecdotal evidence. It's all based on very rigorous psychological principles and theory. Okay. So that when we are helping people understand about remote working or about how they find a job or how they plan for their career, that it's based on an understanding of the deeper psychological processes and systemic factors that shape our career. So like we spoke about before, how are you well enough?
Yeah.
You know, and that's a really important question to have a career.
Yeah.
And then it's about understanding the impact as an individual or an organization of that decision so that you're making really good, clever decisions that are sustainable for you over time.
Okay, fantastic. Right, we've got that out of the way now, Sinead. At least now we know you're a legitimate expert. Sinead, we're obviously going to like start back. I know we'll keep harping on about it, but like 5 years ago, COVID, it was obviously an awful time for everyone. But one of the key things that came out of it was that opportunity to work from home. What do people see as the main benefit to this arrangement?
So this is going to be a lot of a depends kind of answer, Laura, which doesn't always, you know, answer things directly, but it's not that I'm avoiding the question, but it does really depend. So like for employees, the benefit is like, so if you're going into work every day, like it's great to have autonomy and flexibility.
Yeah.
We know that that is one of the most important things that people need in their work life because everybody has a life outside of work. And the reality is like, I know we have people at the moment kind of saying back to the office, 60 hour week is the optimal work week, 120 hour week. Like, we have to look at the people that are saying these type of things and ask, you know, who's actually attending to their personal needs? Mm. Like who's doing their shopping? Who's doing their, you know, all of the things that need to be done to live life?
Yeah.
And are they going to the gym? And are they minding themselves? Because ultimately you have to be well to work well.
Yeah.
But also, you know, it's about having less commuting time, that you can save time, that you can give time back maybe in the community. It can build out communities that have been neglected up until now. Great accessibility, particularly for people with caring responsibilities. Somebody who maybe, like I know a great friend of mine has multiple sclerosis. Mm. And for her, traveling to and from work every day, 5 days a week, is a massive, massive impact on her life. But remote working means that she can travel 2 days per week and 3 days per week she's at home. And like her work life has just changed phenomenally. And the workplace is the better for it. And then from an employer perspective, coming back to that, like you've access to a broader talent pool. People tend to be more focused and productive. If you don't have massive office space and overheads, you can put your money into your people.
Yeah.
And people will stay where they have this option of flexibility and remote working. So it's really helpful in those ways.
Yeah. Sinead, in your experience now, how has this affected the mental well-being of those who have the option of remote working?
So again, this is the thing. So mental health and well-being is such an individual thing, and people love autonomy, they love reduced stress, But for some people, it does mean that they face isolation or there's really blurred boundaries between work and home and they tend to be overworked. So from a positive perspective, there's reduced commuting stress, better autonomy and control, better work-life integration. But for some people, you know, and particularly where work is a safe place for them. So maybe they're in, you know, a domestic abuse or a violent situation. Yeah. Going to work is actually a really important place and thing for them to do. But also it can mean that, you know, you have other people to go to reach out to and meet. Maybe you're living alone. Maybe, you know, so it's just, it can have positive effects and negative effects depending on the individual.
Yeah.
So it does really depend on the individual. And then also sometimes where a workplace doesn't have the right supports in place to support working from home. And you are maybe a very ambitious and keyed in person, and where the structures are not there, that can have a really big impact on your mental health, because you want to work from home, you've been told you can, but actually the structures are not set up that you can do that.
Yeah, I know that everything is like on a depends basis and it is person by person, but there does seem to be a lot of mixed views on whether people are more or less productive working from home. Like, what are your thoughts on this? I am going to assume that it really is individually based, because I just know if you push like me and my best friend in a room together, she can thrive because she's got discipline working from home. I won't be. Well, I mean, A, I'm not able to bring a studio into my house, so that's kind of one little roadblock. But B, like, if I'm out of the office, I'm like, woof, see you later, I'm out of work.
Yeah, so that's your cognitive trigger, like, is, so we have these things that trigger us to switch on to work and switch off from work. So your work is a place. Yeah. And then when you're in that place, you're working. And then for other people, like your best friend, work is a space.
Yeah.
So where she can maybe go to the local coffee shop, or she could be in a friend's house or whatever, she is able to work. So productivity, again, depends on, so some people will be really productive in the office and that's the only place that they can be productive. Other people would be really productive outside of the office and they will work. And I think it's actually better to talk about working from anywhere rather than working from home, because not every home is conducive to working, whereas office spaces, remote working centres, hubs, that kind of stuff can actually be really brilliant places to help you to go to work. So again, it depends, but it also depends on the structures the organisation has in place. So if an organisation has really brilliant structures in place, communication channels in place, really open, transparent ways of making sure that everybody gets into calls, that makes it good for everybody. So yeah, it, again, like, you know, it does depend, but the challenge is moving kind of, I think, beyond this notion that work is about time at a desk and that that equals productivity. That actually work is about, what are you putting out? What is the meaningful output of what you're doing? And presence and visibility doesn't always equal productivity. It does for some, it doesn't for others. And you equally could have somebody sitting in front of you and, you know, they're not actually doing that very much. We've all been around that person in the office that spends the day booking flights, or they're on Instagram or whatever it is, and they're basically putting in the bare minimum.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, they have... yeah, so we've all seen that. So it is, it does really depend, but I think it is about structure, it is about the person, and it is about making sure you're hitting your KPIs and hitting all of your performance markers.
Yeah, we love all these KPIs and all this kind of crack that we know all
about.
We've talked about this in the past, Sinead, when you've been on with us about like that, you know, and you mentioned at the beginning there of like these 60-hour, 120-hour work weeks, that they're not exactly... like, if you're not doing work in them, then there's no point in you just actually wasting your time with it. But do you think that there will become a point in the future where, like, employers will do personality tests on people to see which they're better at? Like, how far can employers go in terms of personality testing on employees? Like, is that, would that even be a concept?
So, it, again, I'm not the greatest advocate or fan of personality tests because they really capture a moment in time. So, you know, and it depends very much on the moment in time that you're in. So, and personality is a spectrum. So, like, we're sometimes more introverted, extroverted, so on and so forth. But yeah, personality does play a part. But I think what organisations need to kind of shift to doing is making sure that the practices that are in place suit people who've a preference for working remotely and suit people who've got a preference for working in office, and managing a hybrid workplace.
Yep.
Because when they manage the workplace as been something that is shifting and changing and evolving, it means that you can have this multi-generational workforce working side by side in a way that works for everybody. So that you're not kind of saying we are this or that, we're actually the best approach is going, should we and how do we develop an approach that balances flexibility, productivity and collaboration, yeah, as well as career development? And that's brilliant. So how do we design work so that people and organisations can thrive? Like, wouldn't that not just be amazing, Laura? Like, if we were asking those questions...
I know that it would suit everyone across the board. You mentioned, yeah, like the collaboration of like the, yeah, hybrid working and like people from home and people in office and all that. Some companies say that remote working does negatively affect the team dynamic and the collaboration. Like, can that be the case as well?
Absolutely. And there is an awful lot to be said for human connection, where people are face to face. And, you know, for example, circumstances today dictated that this didn't happen face to face. But it's much better, in my opinion, when it does, like the buzz and whatever else. So but yes, face to face is definitely warranted on occasion. It doesn't have to be all the time. And where you're face-to-face, where you're in-person collaboration is really meaningful, and it's really, really designed to promote collaboration across time. Like, that is just amazing. Yeah. So that you get the really good balance of how do we work remotely while building collaboration, but when we're in person, how do we make sure that we are building team dynamics that encourage collaboration?
Mm. Let's talk about people who are like just starting off in their careers. And this is just the thing that, like, I always think of that generation during COVID in 2020 who were, you know, 16, 17, 18, and they missed out on, I always talk about like the nights out that they missed out on and just all that, like, you know, like meeting new people, like, and meeting their peers. But going into a workplace for the first time, if they were to work from home, like, are they going to be missing out on being like mentored in the office? And, you know, if they want to grow a career and, like, you know, building their confidence.
Yeah, I think there's a lot in this question again. And I think that as so many organizations, when you're starting off, the first 6 months are in office.
Yeah.
And what they're saying it is like that first 6 months, we need you in because we need to get you to meet people, to know who people are, to understand the structures, that if you've got a question, you can ask it face to face. And, you know, that does work really well because you are networking yourself within the organization and so on. But it is for those early days, that's really important. And they did miss out on so much, like missed out on leaving certs, missed out on the college, all of that type of stuff. So getting that kind of face-to-face interaction is really important. I don't know if it needs to be 6 months. I think that does depend on the organisation. But I mean, where there is this intent in interest in building collaboration and dynamic connection, that's really important. But yeah, I think if you can get into the office and make sure that you're getting into the office, if it's not mandated for you, that you're getting into the office maybe 2 days per week or 3 days per week, and switch those days up so you're meeting different people.
Yeah.
So people are creatures of habit. You know, people will come in the same days every week and that's it. But if you flex the days that you come in, you'll get to meet different people and be a little bit more visible. So maybe that's something that you could think about.
And then everybody gets a little bit of you as well. So, you know, it works
out for everyone.
Absolutely. I just think that thing, like that whole generation, I just think that it's so important for them to build their social skills and be face to face with people, because, you know, otherwise they can become so isolated, and that's just the worry all the time. This is a biggie, Sinead, but finally, you know, in your view, from a well-being perspective, what is the ideal situation for both the employer and the employee regarding working from home or working from anywhere?
I love these questions, Laura. So I think that we need to start looking at, you know, rather than looking back to what worked pre-COVID, if we kind of future focus our mind and go, okay, so this is how the world is changing. We've got AI, we've got all of these different kind of things that are happening in our world. And we begin to think, okay, how do we make sure that work is designed and careers are developed so that organizations and individuals thrive, both beside each other? And we can do that by asking, you know, how do we make sure that we can be flexible and productive? Distant but connected, collaborative while developing. And these are not easy questions to answer, and they depend on each organisation. But it's such an exciting moment because the organisations that ask these questions, along with the people that work for them, they're having these really brilliant adult conversations whereby you can be both a remote or hybrid worker and really involved in the business, really connected. And it's a really human-centric focus. Yeah. So I think it's really exciting, and the organisations that are taking it on are absolutely going to thrive.
Yeah, and like I know I said that was finally, but there has to be trust on both ends.
100%.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like your employer has to trust that you're going to do the work, and you have to be able to pull through if you're going to have the option of, you know, working from a remote space that isn't your office, that isn't you around everybody all the time, because otherwise it's just going to fall to pieces.
Yeah, I think that is such an important observation, trust. Mm. Trust is the linchpin of the whole thing. And that's what happened, like, and we've seen when COVID happened, and it was shocking, like the trust that that organisations put into their employees to work remotely, and then employees did it.
Yeah.
Like, that was, and obviously there's always going to be, you know, it's a bit like the Tato ad, there's always going to be one, but like there's always going to be a small number that don't do, but they're probably the people that won't do it in the office either.
Yeah, you know? Actually, so, that's a very, very important point.
You know, so let's kind of think about the majority and go, let's mandate for the majority rather than the minority,
yeah,
who probably won't do it anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of, I think that's kind of, if we look at it that way and we build trust, trust is absolutely so important. Absolutely.
Sinead, thank you so much for taking your call today. This is 100% going to be a hot topic for a long time to come. That was career psychologist and author Sinead Brady.
Thanks, Sarah.
Sinead, we'll chat to you again soon. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
With Laura Fox.
Podcast.